Welcome to the Woodridge Baptist Church podcast. For more information about what's happening in the life of our church, visit our website at www.woodridge.org. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning we're going to be in James chapter 3. So I invite you to turn there. As Tiffany was talking about, we're going to be looking at what James has to say to an early church. They were struggling. There were some things that they were going through. You see that they've endured trials that were pretty brutal because they had converted to Christianity from the Jewish faith. And as a result, they were dealing with a lot of persecution. I mean, nobody enjoys that. I certainly don't. They didn't either. They were dealing with temptations, but James is saying there's a good way to deal with temptation. They were dealing with some fractured relationships in the group. I know that's hard to believe, but you know, there you go. They were bickering with each other. Today, we're going to talk about James and what he has to say about the way that we use our words. Words are a powerful thing. Let me begin with something that Danny Akin said some years ago. He said, there are few places more infested with harmful bacteria than your mouth. More than 100 million microscopic critters live in there. Fungus grows in the oral cavity. That's just nasty, but you know. One study that's about 20 years old found 37 unique bacteria in the human mouth that microbiologists had never recorded. Dr. Alan Drennan, professor of oral medicine at NYU, said this, it's really no surprise, it just reiterates what's been known for a long time, that there are bugs that you can collect from a human mouth that you can't grow in a lab. It's not just true with the microscopic critters that are in our mouth. It's also the words that are in our mouth if we're not really careful. James today is dealing with the tongue. And as he points out, the problem with the tongue really is its spiritual connection. It's what's coming out of you and the spirit that it's connected to in you. It's directly married to your heart, is your tongue. And the heart directs it towards things that are good, or the heart will direct it toward things that are evil. It's important to remember, I said, the power of words. And the reason is because in Genesis, words have the power to create. But we also see in Proverbs, words have the power to destroy. The question for us today is, what is it that is coming out of you? And what we also have to do is to believe something about ourselves, maybe that's hard to believe, that what is coming out of us really is us. Even though we don't want to believe it, maybe today we need to say, no, it's true. That's me. Here's what James wants to say, and I begin in verse 2. The first thing that he points out is that our tongue or our words are what measures our maturity. Maturity has been this big theme for James. How are you growing up in your faith? Not do you have it. He addresses them as brothers and sisters. They've already accepted Christ. It's now, what are you doing with Christ? Are you growing up in him? And he says, your mouth is going to be one of the measures of your maturity. He says it in verse 2. We all stumble in many ways, for sure. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. Isn't that an interesting thing to say? If you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. How does that even work? I mean, I'm giving some thought to that. It seems a strange thing to say, but controlling speech is one of the most difficult things to control. Think about these cautions in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth invites a beating. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 7. Like the leg of a lame that hangs limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. You have wisdom. You're just doing absolutely no good with it. The question that we have this morning is, what is your speech like? Are you constantly chicken frying people, or are you building people up? This is the bottom line, and this is the word of James. We sin with our mouths easily, but the mark of maturity in your Christian life is that you have control over your words. Justin Martyr, the early Christian apologist, said, by examining the tongue of a patient, physicians find out the diseases of the body. Philosophers find out the diseases of the mind, and Christians find out the diseases of the soul. Because after all, and as James will point out in verses 3 and 4, your tongue will also determine your direction. Here's what he says. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. You have two pictures that James is trying to give to you so that you can see the power of what comes out of your mouth. The first is the horse. You have to imagine the horse is a pretty amazing creature. You think about like a half-ton animal. And in that day and time, back in Palestine, it was the most powerful animal that they knew. So James is drawing on this for a reason. Think of the most powerful animal that you interact with every day. But then you put a 2-inch bit in its mouth and someone that knows what they're doing on its back, and you can control that beast. That's what James is saying. The raw power of the horse becomes useful for good things. Just like the raw power of your speech under God's control becomes useful for great things. Second example was the ship. Even in the midst of great winds, he says, those are things you can't control. You're not walking out there and saying, I'd like the winds from the north now, by the way. By the way, I would like the winds out of the north right now. It's been scorching out there. Are you kidding? You can't control this stuff any more than you can control the trials and everything that's around you. The wind is just blowing. He says, so consider a ship. Even in the midst of great winds, there's still the pilot. There's still the pilot, and he has the key to the direction of the ship by controlling the rudder. And when you think of the rudder compared to the size of the ship, it's kind of physically insignificant, but it's what makes the ship go where it goes, even in spite of the winds. Let me give you an example on why this matters. Because for some of us, we find that the speech that we use, and especially when we're speaking maybe negatively against a person, is justified in our own eyes. That's like the wind. You know, had they just treated me differently, then this wouldn't have poured out of me. James is saying, no, you need to call that the lie for what it is. This is what was in you. This is why it came out of you. Because you can have a person that's speaking all kinds of evil against you, and you still demonstrate tremendous self-control and not respond to evil with evil. That would be the characteristic of maturity in your Christian life, is that you don't play that game. James says, consider that. Because after all, when you think about it, your life is destined, just like a ship, to go in a direction. What James is asking us to consider today, the right word at the right time may open doors and bring tremendous healing. The wrong word at the wrong time will shut down relationships. And it's not just that James has said it. You've already seen it from the wisdom of Solomon before. I mean, after all, he gives this caution in verses 5 and 6. He says, your words are like a fire. They're like a fire. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest, and the tongue, it's a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness. It's placed among our members, it stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Okay, that's pretty direct words, right? And you've probably seen this before when you think of some of the wildfires out in California. All it needed was the flick of a cigarette and a little bit of a wind. And the next thing you know, 40,000 acres have been absolutely torched. It's no different when you think of the power of gossip. You've probably heard of Mark Twain, the famous writer. You know, he once said that that a rumor can get halfway around the world before the truth can get its boots on. Did you know that that's true? And we're also more likely and inclined to listen to gossip and rumor than we are interested in listening to truth. We're just kind of cut that way. James is saying, be extra cautious with this. There are four parts of the tongue, he says, and that can be a danger. One, you've seen, it's fire that can burn a forest down. How many of you know of relationships that because of speech, you've watched those relationships absolutely get burned down? How many of you, because of what comes out of a person's mouth, has watched relationships in a family get burned down, friendships destroyed? James is saying, we've seen it with literal fire, and we also see it with the fire of a tongue. The tongue is set in the body, right? It's like a member of your body, just like a hand, just like your eyes. But did you also know that you, as a believer in Jesus and a part of a church, are a member of a body? Just like the hand to my body, we're all members of a body of Jesus. And he says, if we're not careful with our words, we burn that down too. We burn down the work that Jesus is trying to do through his church because of our speech. It's like a fire, and it torches things. And he says the source of it is hell itself. Now that's a pretty powerful analogy. Gehenna. It's really the Valley of Hinnom. This is on the southwest side of Jerusalem. I've actually been there. And you think, why would he use this example? And he says, because it paints this picture for you of the source of where this is coming from, who you're aligning yourself with when you act like this, and you're also seeing the effects of it when you live like this. It's like Hinnom. Well, what happened at Hinnom? And why should I connect that to my tongue? He says, well, it's because of this. Hinnom is the place where pagan child sacrifice happened. We saw this in Jeremiah 32. Your tongue can basically kill, just like they took children to a place to be killed. But it's not just that. The Valley of Hinnom is where they would take trash and the bodies of dead animals and criminals and put them there. He's basically making this picture that often our speech, when not under the control of God, is basically where they would dump the body of a criminal, but that's what's pouring out of our mouth. Now you can see why this is such strong language. It was considered an unclean place. And he says, right. And so church, I'm asking you to consider, is your mouth an unclean place? Hell. Well, I mean, why would he talk about hell? And it's because that's the domain of Satan. It's the place that he rules. And he says, without a lot of control and yielding to Jesus, your mouth becomes under the domain of him and not your Lord. The tongue, and maybe your tongue, is ready for the devil's use. Maybe not so much for the use of God, because we've already given it to him. In other words, our mouth can be a place fit for dead animals and bodies. Here's a piece of advice. We see this from Proverbs 26:20. He says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Without a gossip, quarrel dies down. Did you catch it? I mean, if you take the wood away, you're not going to continue to feed the fire. If your tongue is a fire, let me encourage you, take the wood away. Take the wood away. And what you will see is that everything that the fire keeps blowing up, whatever relationships there may be, they're absolutely blowing up because of the choices that we make with our speech that's flowing from a heart that's probably not in tap with Jesus. He says, take the wood away. Quit feeding the flames. And the result you'll see will be drastically different. Your speech will also be different. Your speech will also be different. He gives us this example in verses 7 and 8. He says, consider some animals. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. He says this in verse 8, though. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, why would he give that example? I believe the answer is he's going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Because there, what you see is God looks at man, and after he creates man, he sees all of the creatures, and he says, I give you dominion over these creatures. Now, that's not power. That's not I'm giving you power over them. I'm giving you the responsibility to exercise a proper authority and care for creation. That's what he was doing with dominion. And now you have this image. He says, think about all the animals that you have dominion over, the birds, the you can tame them. Did you know if you came over to my house, I would introduce you to my dog, Duke. It is crazy what I can do with Duke because I've trained that dog, also known as the Beast and the Dark Lord. It is crazy what I can do with that dog. And you know what? Even at this point, Duke can look at my face and he pretty well knows what I'm thinking. In fact, a lot of the time that I interact with Duke, I don't have to say a word. I don't. I can just move my hand and that dog knows exactly what I'm telling him to do. He has been under my care because I love him. I take care of him. I feed him. He's a good beast. But more than that, he's been under my control. In a good way, he's been under my control. He says, now let's think about our mouth. He says, you might can control Duke, but it's easier to do that than it is to control your mouth. We can tame and care for them, but there's a beast that we tend to not contain. And frankly, James says this, on your own, you can't. You're going to have to ask Jesus to get a grip on this for you. One of the things that we see because of our speech is not just something that we understand about ourselves, it's also what other people on the outside see about us. And what James points out in verses 9 through 12 is that there's a terrible inconsistency in those that profess to follow Jesus. And it just shouldn't be. But there's a terrible inconsistency. Here's the inconsistency. He says, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse the people who are made in God's likeness. Should that be? Blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth? Brothers and sisters, these things just shouldn't be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, brothers and sisters? Does a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt water yield fresh water. Notice he just gives three rhetorical questions. He asks it, but the answer is already in there. Does a spring pour out bitter and sweet at the same time? No. Does a fig tree produce olives? No. Does salt water produce fresh water? No. It's not the way that it works. Bad things, his point, bad things don't produce good things. Good things don't produce bad things. Whatever comes out of the mouth is what reveals on the inside. You squeeze the orange, you get orange juice, not Dr. Pepper. That's the way this works. And so what James is saying is, take a look at your mouth today. What's coming out of you? That's the real you. That's the real you. So if you're full of slander, gossip, bitterness, vindictiveness, maligning, you have tapped into hell itself, and it's not meant or fit for his church. It's got to be purged. And that's your choice, not mine. I can't do that for you, but I can choose it for myself. He says it's inconsistent. It gives a mixed message to people about who the church is. The inconsistency does damage, doesn't it? It hurts our reputation. Did you know, if you think about Father's Day, parents, and I'm just saying this to parents, your words can build your children up, or your words can scar them. What are your words? But what if a child sees out of your mouth both this, I love you, and you make me sick? There's an inconsistency there that isn't fit for a loving parent. And James is saying, and it shouldn't be. But maybe we step out of the parent-child relationship when we just talk about how you're talking about people. Is there an inconsistency there? James is saying, it shouldn't be. Maybe it's time to put the bit in the mouth and let the Holy Spirit take the reins on where the ship is going and where the horse is going. So it goes to a different place. There is a right use of words, and that is the rest of the message. And I just want to encourage you in a couple of things this morning. Give some serious thought to this. For those of you that are note takers, take pictures of these screens if you don't want to write it down, because there's a good way to use words. And here's the first. Words may be used for wise counsel and sound advice. Your words may be used for wise counsel and sound advice. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31 says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Proverbs 15:7 says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. What are you spreading? What comes out of a righteous man? Wisdom. What comes out of a wise man? Knowledge. These two things ought to be coming out of your mouth all the time. And if anything that isn't, needs to be drawn back and yielded to the control of the Holy Spirit who's in your heart. Words may be used for wise counsel and sound advice. Second, the tongue can be used to speak rebuke and reproof. Sometimes correction is needed. Parents, you know this. You know this. But remember, it's a correction that is getting them to what God thinks, not just your opinion. Their job isn't to conform to you. Their job is to conform to Jesus. Jesus, not you, not your pet opinion, him. Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes of a fool. So if you find a man of understanding and you rebuke him, he'll be impressed by your rebuke more than if you find a fool and beat him 100 times with words. That's because a wise man or a man of discernment is a man you can come to and say, look, I know that you're on the wrong path. My friend, I'm not sure about what you're doing. And before you do that, stop and think. Let's talk about that. We need those people in our lives. You're hurting your marriage. You're hurting your children. You're hurting your friendship. Those are good hurts. Those are good hurts. You have somebody like that in your life? Because what they're trying to do is to speak a correction to you, trying to redirect the ship to a better place. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Better to have a friend tell you a hard truth than to have somebody try to butter you up and cover up the hard thing that you need to hear. My question is just, do you have them? Second is, are you listening to them when they're speaking to you? Finally, the good use of the tongue is that the tongue may be used for encouragement. And man, we need it. We need it. I was thinking about this song Don Henley wrote. Any Eagles fans out there? There's a few. Don Henley wrote this some years ago. And he said, we all need a little tenderness. How can love survive in such a graceless age? Isn't that a great line or two? Isn't that great? He's absolutely right. Here's what I've seen. I've seen that we live in basically a graceless age. It's not only that people don't know how to forgive, it seems, anymore. It's that people don't want to forgive anymore. We just live in that age. Anything that we can hold over somebody, we love to do it because now we're the captain. We're the ones that are in control. Can you think of anything that is more unlike Jesus than that? Because I can't. I stand here as a person that has received tremendous grace and mercy. That's why I'm here, not to continue to perpetuate the wrong so that there's a toxicity that takes over not just culture, but what if it takes over Christ's church? Even worse, because that's the witness that we give with the way that we treat each other. The tongue can be used instead for encouragement. Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Have you cheered anybody up this week? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Have your words brought healing this week? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Have you blessed somebody this week with a timely word? And then finally, Proverbs 16, 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Have your words been sweet to someone that needs them to be that for them this week? What we're learning from James, what we're learning from Solomon as well today, is that our words have power. They have the power of life. They have the power of death. We see that they have the power to destroy the image of the church because it becomes the caricature of the church to those that are watching. And here's what James is saying. They deserve better from you who follow Jesus. Maybe what it is that you need to give him today is give him your heart back. Give him your heart back. Maybe even as a believer, you've just kind of been walking in the wrong direction for so long. It's time to give him your heart back so that what changes in here changes what comes out of here. And people see the difference that he's trying to make. My question for you this morning, my friends, what's your speech like? How's it looking? What's coming out of you? I'm asking you this morning to be honest with yourself. If you're sitting here and you're listening to the words of Solomon and you know that you're the encourager, you know that you offer a rebuke in a good and godly and timely way, if you know that you're filled with good speech, that's great. Can I encourage you today? Press on in the good that you do because we need more of it. Plenty of negativity out there. Jesus is here through his words to build you up and to create something new. Can I encourage you to press on? But maybe you're honest with yourself today and you go, things could be better. Well, how about right now? How about right now? What James is saying is, this is the choice to make on where we take the ship or where we take the horse. What's it going to be?
We hope you have enjoyed the podcast. For more information about our church, visit www.woodridge.org.